Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport.
Thank you for coming back to the Inside Lacrosse Podcast, a very special edition. We are joined by a pair of gold medalists, and we're going to be talking about the World Games in Birmingham, Alabama, as well as the Sixes discipline. I am Terry Foy, joined by Inside Lacrosse's Matt Kinnear and Alyssa Cometti. And of course, we are joined by Team Canada's Dana Dobie and John Grant Jr. Dana, fresh off of a women's team victory over the USA in the World Games gold medal game, as well as Junior 5 days prior to that, leading Team Canada to a dominant win over the US as well. Thank you guys for joining us. Congratulations.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Matt, I know that you followed this very closely, and I'll turn the mic over to you to kind of get the ball rolling in terms of the first question.
Well, I'm just going to ask the easy question, and it's to you, Dana, because you won most recently, and you know, I know this has been something you've been craving for a long time, is this gold medal. So how does this feel? And, you know, by extension, how does it feel, you know, in the first, you know, with this new discipline and so much you've done to make this happen, just your emotions right now?
Yeah, you know, Matt, it's better than you could have ever imagined. And, you know, it tastes even better after a long awaited wait that we had there. And I can remember being a little kid and watching Team Canada and growing up throughout the national team program. And the conversation was always, you know, US is number one. You know, Canada, you know, just keep working at it, keep developing. And so now to flip that script and for us to be on top of the world, you know, it's really come full circle. And I'm just so proud of the team and the staff and everything and everyone it took to get to this point. So very grateful.
Dana, do you feel like there was an advantage despite being tired because you had played a World Cup prior, but you played a World Cup prior, had that much time to get chemistry compared to Team USA, who is a whole fresh set of women playing?
Yeah, I guess it just depends on, you know, who wants to start that conversation and which way you want to look at it, right? I mean, you know, definitely we had two new members to our program onto that World Games team. So the chemistry was really mixed up with that squad. And, you know, we had pulled hamstrings and partially torn muscles and we were taped up and we went out there. And so, you know, there can definitely be advantage or a disadvantage, but at the end of the day, you just have to win that 32 minutes. And that's what we came here to do. So we're just so proud of that. And having come off a World Cup and going into a World Games, you know, it's not easy at all, but when you're playing for your country, you know, you can kind of get over anything and then get to what you came there to do.
Junior, there's some similarities from the standpoint of, you know, this Canadian Sixes team on the men's side might go down as, you know, historically one of the best Sixes teams of all time. It might not be regarded that way right now because it's the first Sixes team of all time, but it came together, I think, both intentionally and a little bit by fortune, really, really well. And you were dominant throughout, and you kind of were a model of how it seems like this discipline should be played. Can you describe the process that you guys embarked on to put this roster together?
Yeah, good question. But before I do that, I want to congratulate Dana and their squad. I was fortunate enough to bring my daughter to the dorms at Towson what seemed like 3 weeks ago to meet Team Canada, as I did when I was a little kid. She said, you know, we've both grown up wanting to represent this country. And I'm exhausted, and I have not played any lacrosse since then. And she's not only competed in one, but two. And being down in that heat in Alabama, that was no easy task without any games prior. So kudos. That was well done. Proud of those girls. To answer your question, we didn't get a chance to really get together as a group. So we had to take basically put a lot of thought into who we were going to take. And We really focused on versatility. We feel like in Canada, the young men we have playing right now are as athletic as anyone in the world. Probably not when I was playing that was the case, but we knew we had to find the smartest kids, the kids that could buy in after one practice or two practices that we had. And they just believed in each other the whole time and bought in. Really, it was a breeze for us as coaches. We probably could have watched it from wherever we were staying and the same result would have happened. We had those type of kids. which that small format with only 12 guys, it was really easy for the chemistry to build really, really quickly. And I'm sure Dana can attest to it. Like, you could fit the group into one room and they're all eating at one table. I mean, the guys were never separated by any more than 5 minutes. Maybe the two bandit guys would go off on their own the odd time, but it was a joy to be a part of it. So,
Dana, being part of this Blue Skies working group that, you know, came up with the Sixes discipline, what's it like, you know, kind of seeing it come to fruition? And, you know, did it meet your expectations in terms of, you know, what this discipline can provide?
Yeah, for sure. I love that question, Matt. I think, you know, I used to always say I love to play lacrosse more than I love to coach it, more than I love to watch it. And honestly, watching the men capture the gold and the way they played that Sixes discipline, I don't know. Do I like to watch it more or do I love to play it more? Because it was just so incredible. And getting to see all the different nations compete at the World Games playing that discipline was just like such a treat. I think for so long, the women's games and the female players have been so handcuffed by our rules and not really able to showcase our lacrosse skill and our athleticism that everyone was able to see in the Sixes. So to be a part of it, but then to see it, it was more than I could have ever imagined, to be honest.
Is there anything, having just played, you know, extensive minutes now, looking back, that you feel like needs workshopping still, like a rule or, you know, anything that you can say, I think that we can make this better?
Yeah, I can't speak on the men's side, but on the women's side, I think the biggest thing is going to be our officiating. There really hasn't been any practice for these officials too much to really officiate this style of lacrosse and women's lacrosse. So there was a lot of bias towards, you know, what check is maybe a little too dangerous or what shot is maybe too hard. And so we really are struggling with that still at this point. But I think the more that it's played, the more that officials are able to focus on Sixes and understand that it is something completely different to tens, it's going to allow us to continue to elevate our sport on this side. But as far as like the rule set, there'll definitely be some tweaks. And I had some really great conversations with a lot of the different athletes just to hear their points from their perspective. But I think it's pretty solid where it's at. It's just going to take practices from coaches, players, and officials for us to make this as great as it can be.
Junior, one of the things about this that's so important not to lose sight of is that you got to compete against and alongside athletes from numerous sports. There were 44 sports competing at the World Games in Birmingham. Was there a moment, or is there in a story that you have of talking to a coach or an athlete or a parent who was there for another sport that really opened your eyes to how special it is to be a part of a competition where it's about more than just lacrosse?
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because I think that element to this event actually took the sting out of not being able to play in it, because I was there for other reasons. I could spend more time outside of my craft and, well, basically stretching, but to learn about other things. But you're sitting at a table with sumo wrestlers and dancers, and, you know, we got to meet the floorball hockey team, who was like basically a senior beer league team from like Ottawa, and the guys went to their game and they came to our game to talk strategies with some of these other countries and different sports I've never heard of. But it really opened my eyes to, like, sports is just such a worldwide thing that we almost kind of take for granted. There's so many other things out there that I think in North America we never see, never hear about. I spent most of the first 3 days just Googling some of these sports, and I know our guys were pretty arrogant. They're like, we could win this event, we could win this event, we could win this event. They thought for sure they could win the floorball one. And then we were in the elevator with the Finland team and they were all bigger than Brody. So I'm like, no chance. But it's pretty funny. And I think it was like the most special part of the whole thing was just being around so many like-minded people. I mean, gold medal day, we were practicing in the quad. The American inline hockey team was playing wiffle ball. We had all these Eastern European athletes training for like their fighting, and then just people kind of watching and interacting. It was a very, very special moment. And I think that just added to the whole event, because, I mean, the stands were absolutely filled for our gold medal game. Like, it was electric in there that night, and our job was to quiet them down as soon as possible. And fortunately, we were able to do that.
Dana, with your guys' win, and Junior, you can kind of chime in here too, but, you know, as you went on in this event, what was the adjustment like? You know, the way that you play the game, did it change from game one until the last game? You know, any adjustments or anything that your preconceived notions that you had to change after you got out there and actually did it?
Yeah, similar to Junior, we didn't have any like team practices with sixes going into this because everything for us was so focused on the tens world championship. So each game was an opportunity to try something new. And I think what we did better this prior world championship is we played a more Canadian style of women's field lacrosse than we ever had. And I think that really helped propel us into our success that we had at sixes. It just relying on that box style, that creative style of play, being really physical all over the field and in tens that got us in trouble with a few yellow cards and some 8 meters. But I think it really helped us as we went into the sixes. And each game, we tried a different strategy. We tried to show that country something they hadn't seen before. And then kind of just picked up all those little bits and pieces that we accomplished throughout that tournament and wrapped it all up and threw it at the Americans and gave it our best go. And it all worked out for us.
For both you guys, I mean, one of the things in talking to the folks on the American men's team, Junior, was that they felt like, you know, there was a strong motivating factor for revenge for 2018 among your group. And obviously, Dana, you guys had that, but only a week prior. Can you describe how motivation played a role in your approach?
Yeah, I mean, I was talking to Coach Shea, who's their head coach, and he coached me when I was a young guy and, you know, texting throughout the week. And I just said, I can't talk to you. Like, I'm going radio silent, no more. And at the end of the game, he came up, he's like, why do you hate me so much? I'm like, this is how we do it. Like, it could be a sixes game, a tens game, a box game, or an exhibition at Ocean City. Like, Canadian guys want to beat the U.S. Like, we've all grown up wanting to do that. We weren't able to for a really long time. Like Dana said, like, that's just something, like, it's like our Ivan Drago on the mirror. Like, we're always focused on beating them. And I think this group, you know, we had a few guys that had just lost the NLL championship, so they were pretty beat up. And some other guys that, you know, I don't think anything, I never heard 18 not mentioned one time until Coach Shea said it after the game. They just, that's how they go into these games with these guys. They were really, a lot of them were upset they lost that one exhibition game in October. So I think that was more on their mind than anything. And we just wanted to do our country proud and to showcase that we're lacrosse players, not indoor or outdoor, because we've always heard we're just really good indoors and maybe a couple guys are good outdoors. So we just wanted to put a stamp on, and our guys just said that was our focus, be Canadian lacrosse players. And that was kind of our thing going in.
Yeah, and to piggyback off that, I mean, you know, there's no bigger chip on your shoulder than just previously losing in a gold medal game at a world championship. And you normally have to wait 4 years to get that opportunity to even work yourself back into that gold medal game. And then here we were a week later getting to play against the U.S. and play for that gold medal. So that was massive motivation. But at the same time, just being at that World Games event amongst all those athletes and all those different disciplines, you know, fighting for a spot in the Olympics, there was no bigger motivation than just representing Canada and Canada lacrosse to our best of our abilities.
Dana, can you talk about how it, as a coach at Loyola, you kind of have a unique role? You're playing with Lauren Spence, who you coach. You're playing against Georgia Latch, who you coach, are playing against Jen Adams, who you work with. So can you talk about kind of that crossover and how unique an experience that is?
It was such a unique experience. I mean, you know, we have a big rivalry with Australia too, as Australia was at the top of the game for so long there with the U.S. But anytime I get to watch the Australians, I'm just so excited for Jen and for Georgia and all those girls that I'm close with, and getting to work with Spence and then play with her. I mean, I think there, I won't say the year difference that we have between the two of us. But just to see her in that environment and to excel, like, I was so proud of her as her coach, but then to be that proud of her as her teammate was something so unique. And I don't think I really realized what that would feel like when we were were going into it. And so, yeah, just so much pride in that Loyola program, and to see the Hounds have two medals on that day from, you know, the last world championship, and we were all sad, to finally being all happy. You know, it was such a good feeling.
And she had some game-changing saves down the stretch. And for someone as young as her, I'm sure you were like, all right, next spring's looking good.
No, totally. And it was so fun. We go into like quarter breaks and she'd be like, Dana, like, what do I need to do? I'm like, Spence, you don't need to hear from me, buddy. You got it. You're playing awesome. Just go with your gut. And it was so amazing. I see how great she is every single day, but now the world getting to see it was such a special opportunity for all of us.
So I'm going to bring up, you know, the naysayers, the people who, you know, sixes isn't real lacrosse, or, you know, this, there's no structure to it. It's just people running up and down a field, things like that. The people who are critical of sixes, you know, how do you combat, how do you, you know, first of all, what do you say to that? But also, how do you combat that and, you know, change the minds of some people who are maybe a little hesitant still to what the sixes game and sixes discipline is all about?
I actually think it's the other way. I mean, I know for a fact that there's not a lot of people that can play it, because it, I mean, I know the games are short, but watching some of our guys, like, it, we have, you know, the GPS monitors on them and everything, like, it is extremely difficult to play at that pace. And I know for a fact I wouldn't have been able to do it. And my career would have shortened drastically if I would have had to have played that. Like, it takes away a lot of that specialization. But I mean, these guys and these girls, like, it is crazy how hard that is in that amount of time to run that much. Like, the miles they were going through at that pace, it was baffling. And I was super impressed with every single athlete that gave it their all in that, because it's not easy.
Yeah, and I would just agree. I think it brings out the best in all disciplines of lacrosse. And that was the major goal when we were creating this. Like, let's look at whether it's men's or women's, box or field, like, what is the most difficult things about lacrosse, and what do these athletes love the most about playing lacrosse? And that was really the starting point of sixes. I think in the one game we were wearing the same GPSs, I think I clocked 5 miles in our Great Britain game, and I should not be running 5 miles playing lacrosse anymore. But when you're always involved in the play, you know, it's like the best hidden conditioning there can possibly be. But at the same time, you're able to create plays and make plays that you can't in box, that you can't in field. It's a totally different style, and it takes a different athlete. And I think that athlete in that style is what people really want to watch. It's what they want to play. And as coaches, we would love to coach that, because you're always involved in it. There's no time for you to think about what's happening, because the next play is going.
Yeah, just to add to that, I mean, having a 12-year-old and knowing and watching her play and knowing some of the, you know, conversations we have about, you know, she's an attacker and she's like, I want to just be involved all the time and I got to watch sometimes. And, you know, the face-off doesn't allow people to be playing at certain times. And I mean, I know as a kid playing whatever sport, I didn't want subs. I wanted to be on the field, whether it's basketball, hockey, whatever it is. Like, when you're, I know kids don't play in the backyard as much anymore, but you want to play. You don't want to sit around and watch it. This style allows you to play the whole time. And like Dana said, you don't have time to think about anything else other than just getting ready for your next time to be involved.
Like, it was hilarious. Like, our trainer, Claire, there wasn't even time for her to give us water. Most of the time we would come off and we'd be in our pairs or we'd be in our lines and she's trying to hydrate us. And we're like throwing the cup away because we're going back onto the field. And I just look at the sixes and I think, you know, what I would do to go back and like be a teenager and be able to be playing this as I prepare for my college career. And we had more touches in one game than I think I had in the entire world championship in Towson. And that to me is like just so wild. Or the time spent in Towson between whistles and setting up 8 meters, like we're playing during all that time. So when we think about the growth of the sport and getting more sticks into kids that don't have sticks right now and aren't playing lacrosse, like this to me is just like the perfect combination of how we can grow this game around the world and how we can just improve and elevate what we're seeing in lacrosse that we're seeing right now.
Yeah, I think that touches on Matt's earlier point of the detractors, because I had a number of conversations with high school and club coaches over the course of the last week, 10 days, that basically said this is the model they're going to adopt for their eighth grade and under or whatever level program, because it addresses every problem that they face in terms of player development, right? You don't have to make choices around position specialization. You don't have to worry about numbers nearly to the extent that you do if you're trying to play 10 on 10. And the structure of the game allows for, as you just said, so much more like cardiovascular conditioning and so much more touches, right? So just from a skill development standpoint, it's so much more beneficial. And I think that that's true not just for American and Canadian kids who otherwise already have access to playing the sport in most instances, but as you just said, kids globally that otherwise wouldn't be able to play because they couldn't get 22 people or 24 people or 30 people or whatever the required number is together. But shifting back a little bit to the notion of what was learned in Birmingham, because a common refrain that I said early in the event was people don't know how to win this game yet. The tactics are still, you know, the rules are still a little bit evolving, but the tactics are even more so. Junior, you said that you emphasize versatility, and that's justifiable for building a Canadian team roster because you have a healthy amount of players that have very versatile skill sets, essentially defenders that are really good at offense, whereas most of the rest of the world doesn't have that luxury. And I came away valuing versatility and valuing stamina less than I anticipated it was going to be worth, and really valuing specifically shooting accuracy, but more so just offensive precision and offensive efficiency. What do you think of that notion? Am I way off base? And then Dana, if you can kind of follow up with your thought in terms of how that theory or opinion kind of overlays into the girls' side as well.
I'll just say, look at Japan. Look what they did. They were like the darlings of the tournament. Like we went to every single game. The games were short and they all went after. So they learned how to play the game. They learned, I mean, they were doing leaners and twisters and BTBs and could play big defense and could run. And they were always pretty good at being athletic, but you know, think they had like 10 players and they were all like the size was there, but they were doing things creatively that were blowing us away. And I know that that was there. There wasn't maybe an opportunity in the other form of the game to showcase it, but they were hanging in with every team in the world at this event and ended up winning an OT game against, you know, one of the countries that have been in the game the longest. And I think that shows you what can be done in this game. You can learn it, has to be taught. And I think the good thing about it is you can play the game the same way, girls or men. Like you can get out there and say, I can coach this game now. Dana, we both could go coach either country's team and you could teach the same thing. I think it brings a more universal look at this. And that's what it's exciting for me is like, I want to go out and coach this game. I love it. And I want to coach it wherever I can because I truly believe it gets down to the purest form of it. You and your stick in a wall and be athletic and you can learn the rest of it. And I think tactics are a part of it, but the individual skill tactics, I think were showcased by a country that I've never seen them do it before. So that to me shows that this is all possible. And like the parity amongst all the countries in the world can get there in the time frame that we're looking for this Olympic berth.
Yeah, for sure. I loved Team Japan on both the men's and women's. I watched all those games and it was just so cool to see where they lacked in the tens is where they really excelled in the sixes. And I think we can see that for a lot of countries as they move forward and they get to qualify and play in these events. And going into this, Terry, I would be honest, I thought that our team, if we had a full team of Erica Evans, we would smash it and we would win by like 10 points. But it was really interesting for us. I really think our unsung heroes were our defense going into this. We had three matchup defenders, Spence in goal, Brooklyn Walker-Welsh from UNC, Lydia Sutton from USC, and then Bostino, head coach at Pitt. And without those three lockdown defenders, whether we were running front door, back doors, or they were having to play up and down, we wouldn't have been able to match up on these offensive powerhouses and keep them really limited in their points, or to force them into taking low angle shots with a lot of time on the shot clock that they were able to do. So I really think our defense won this for us, as Canadians were used to having really creative offensive players. But for the first time, I think the world really saw our defense kind of stand up and step out and be put in that spotlight, which was really cool for me to see, because I did not anticipate that at all. I knew they were good, but what they did was like off the charts.
Well, I'm also like, I'm still replaying the play where Brooklyn Walker-Welch like missed a pass and then caught it all in the same play, like before the ball hit the ground and then scored. I was like, wow, I don't know that I could have done that. And I was an attacker. So clearly she's pretty skilled herself. But I guess my next question is, you know, the next 6 years, or really less than 6 years leading into 2028, are pretty critical. So what are the next steps to continue this momentum? I think everyone's pretty excited about the potential, and you know that it's really right there that we could be playing lacrosse in the Olympics. So how do we continue to push it forward?
I think the nicest thing now that not that COVID's behind us by any means, but now that we're actually being able to play and travel and compete, is just get more of these sixes events going. The fact that you can put like three sixes fields on a regular lacrosse field is amazing. I can think of the amount of times I drive around here in Baltimore and I'm seeing like 7 year olds playing on a college field, and they're so spread out, is like, just get them, you know, get them playing in these sixes disciplines. And I think we're going to see even better college lacrosse, even better tens world championships, just from playing this style and developing this style. So I would just love to see more events and more teams and coaches playing this version as they practice going into their own games.
Yeah, couldn't have said it any better. It's going to start with breaking down, you know, some of the barriers that, you know, people hold so tightly to, you know, the pure form of the game. Or it's a lot to do with just people don't want to relinquish what they have or what they've built or what they're continuing to make a living at, and just open up and accept that it is a phenomenal development tool. And that, I mean, going forward for me, and I have done it, and I did it at a recruiting event this summer. We did it at Hopkins last fall. Like, this is an incredible opportunity to develop every kid on your team, OD, transition, face off, goalie, everybody. And I think taking that into an account, and then I think you're going to see more people are going to try to be the first to market. There's going to be youth tournaments and high school tournaments. But the most of the problem with anything I've seen in either country is just the availability of fields. And the thing I'm finding down here now that I live in Maryland is the availability of box rinks to kind of teach. And that's six is basically what you're kind of teaching, like a lot of touches, playing in tight, quick decisions. You know, sixes can provide that training. I would train a box team the same way I would train my sixes team. Obviously you got to worry about the boards and some of the protection elements, but as far as the game goes, it can be taught the same way. So I look forward to just doing my part, and I'm sure Dana will do the same. And that's, it's just understanding what it's there for. And it's going to make all of your players better. I know most conversations I've had just since I've been back is like, oh, is it going to take tens away? And it doesn't need to. It's going to be just a great addition to what you're doing, and you're going to make your kids better.
Dana, before that, before the gold medal game in the World Championships, you know, I know you guys lined up with the Every Child Matters shirt, the whole Canada team, and, you know, this is shifting gears a little bit, but, you know, what is the responsibility of, you know, basically all of us who are on this conversation now as leaders in the sport of, you know, honoring the Haudenosaunee and, you know, the roots of the game and, you know, bringing awareness to things like this?
Yeah. And Matt, I can say it took me way too long to educate myself and to really understand, you know, that the sport was really gifted to us. You know, it doesn't belong to Canada or USA or anything like that. Like, there are strong roots in the origins of the sport, and we all are lucky that we actually get to play it. And I would have to say that was a highlight of my summer, was seeing all my teammates wearing the Every Child Matters t-shirt as we walked up to our national anthem, just really standing together and saying, you know, as a country, we have to do better. And the fact that these children need to be brought home, these unmarked graves are across all of North America, and only 10 out of 130 schools have been investigated, it is just ridiculous. I can't believe that we're still here having this conversation. So it was a small thing that we did, and I hope it has a really big ripple effect. And a lot of people who didn't even know that this was going on in North America now know. And, you know, I think that's our job as athletes, is to use our platform for something bigger than ourselves. So I'm just super proud of my team, and really thankful that we were even able to have that platform to get that information out there.
Well, and Junior, I mean, that's kind of only a part of the, I don't want to call it like story, but the role that the Haudenosaunee played in lacrosse, the lacrosse community's understanding of what the World Games even was. Because, you know, if you remember the summer of 2020, when the original list of participants came out and they weren't included on it, it created a tremendous uproar that ultimately was rectified. What was it like? Obviously, you've competed against them, and I know you have tremendous respect for their organization, to be able to see them carry a flag, carry their flag, in a global multi-sport competition. It wasn't just World Lacrosse that was recognizing the Haudenosaunee in this instance. It was another more overarching sport federation governing body that was acknowledging, you know, their existence and their ability to compete under their own flag.
Yeah, God bless Ireland for giving up their spot. And there shouldn't be a lacrosse event without the Haudenosaunee. There really shouldn't. As Dana said, they gifted us that game, and people need to get educated on the history, and you know, I think that's the most important thing. I know that growing up playing the game in Canada, I was ignorant to what was going on. I know most of my teammates were ignorant to what was going on. We would go onto the reservations and play and not really think much about it. But, you know, the most important thing, that no one doesn't have access to the research and the materials now. So you got to get educated. Like, we're allowed to play this game, and if you're involved in the game, you need to find out the roots of the game, and the roots start with them. And you know, it's an honor every time we get to play the game, and it's an honor when we get to play against them as well. And you know, I constantly try to find ways to learn more and more. And I know, as Canadians, we made it a point when we were down in Alabama to go to the Civil Rights Museum and learn a little bit about the U.S. history that maybe not a lot of our guys know that are still living in Canada. Obviously, I've been living in the States for a long time, may know a little bit more about it, but I think it's very important for anyone to learn about those things, because, you know, we've got some trying times now, and if you don't really know what you're talking about or getting involved in with these conversations, you need to find out. There's no excuse for not knowing.
Well, that certainly covered a lot of ground. There's a lot more that needs to be covered into the future, because the development of an entirely new discipline of the sport and an endeavor to get lacrosse included into the Olympics in the future with an eye on 2028 will certainly be a focal point going forward. But one last time, congratulations to you both. Thank you very much for joining us on this podcast. And we really look forward to having this conversation again in the future.
Thank you guys so much for having us.
Thank you.